In Exodus 15:26, he says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, now not yours, not what you think's right, but what he says is right, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, then I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now this is under the old covenant. Now, do we just read in Hebrews 8 we got a better covenant? It's better than this. But yet under the old, he promised if we obey him, how much sickness is he going to put on us? Does that make you think? If we're sick, there's something wrong, isn't it? There's always a reason. Now, this is a thing that people don't like to hear. If you're sick, there's a reason. There's something you've done wrong. You know, people don't like that. I've had people, when I tell somebody that, I told that one day in a Baptist church, there was a lawyer, and maybe both of them are lawyers, I think they were, but they came to me and their grandmother was sick, and the woman asked me a question. That's when I was still going to the Baptist church. She said, Thurman, my grandmother is sick. What do you think the problem is? She has cancer. I said, she's got a sin in her life. And she blew up. She said, my grandmother's the most holy woman I've ever seen in my life. And if you think that this woman's sick with cancer because she's got a sin in her life, you're crazy. I said, well, ma'am, you asked me. I'm telling you what's wrong with her. She's got a sin in her life, and she needs to get rid of it. Well, they wouldn't talk to me or nothing. They finally left the church and went to another state. And then the other day, years later, I got a letter from this woman. She said, Thurman, I got to apologize to you. You were right, and I was wrong. I thought, wow, what a woman. Years later, that she would send me a letter to tell me I was right and she was wrong. Wow. But she apologized. She found out that her grandmother had some unforgiveness towards someone. And that's why she died with cancer. The Word of God tells that. But most people don't want to hear it. But if you will diligently hearken, now this is under the old covenant, and we got a better covenant under the new covenant, and under the old covenant, right here is one promise. If you diligently get in God's Word and obey Him, how much sickness did He say He would take away? Don't you like that? Does anybody want to be sick? No. I don't want to be sick either. Then let's go to Exodus 23, 25 and 26. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of you. If you'll serve the Lord and do what he says, what's he going to do with sickness and disease? He's going to take it away. So what if you don't serve him? What's he going to do? Did we see there a while ago where he's the one that wounds you? He's the one that makes you sick? Did we see that? Even kill you? Yeah, he's God. He's sovereign. He can do anything he wants to do. He's the boss. You know, you cannot tell God or tell people what you think unless it's exactly what God's Word says. I mean, a few years ago, if you'd asked me, do you think God's the one that makes you sick? In fact, you might have seen some of my teachings that I absolutely said 15 years ago or 20 years ago that God's not the one that made you sick. But that's before I knew the Word. Now I know He's the one that does it. Somebody said, well, you said the devil did it. Okay, yeah, God does use the devil to do this, but not all the time. There's many places in the Scripture where God says, I've done this to you. Doesn't he? I, the Lord, I did it to you. In fact, I had a pastor one time tell me, you know, Thurman, God would never afflict a child with sickness and disease. Do you know when David committed adultery with Bathsheba? And Bathsheba conceived, and the baby was born. You know what the Scripture says? So the Lord struck the child with sickness, and it died. That's exactly what it says. So who struck that little baby child? Why did he do that? Because of David's sin. See, that ought to make every man think before he sins, right?
That's right.
I mean, if a man is not married to a woman and he's fixing to go to bed with that woman, he needs to realize that when he goes to bed with that woman, who's standing right there watching him? God is. In fact, I had a pastor of a church one time. I was teaching in a great big church, huge church, had 25 pastors in that church. And at the break, one of them come to me. He said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I said, okay. He said, a few years ago, he said, I met my wife and we got married and we were going along here good. I went to seminary and everything and we were having a good time and enjoying living. And then one day something happened and we got at odds with each other. Now, this is a pastor and a pastor's wife in church, you know, but yet something happened. And now then a couple that loves each other with all their heart that are married together, all of a sudden this little critter sitting on somebody's shoulder gets them to get into a fight, and she goes home to mama. Well, now then, he's bicep, still a pastor of a little church. And he said, I went downtown to buy something one day, and when I walked in, I happened to see one of my old high school sweethearts. I said, oh, how are you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing good. How are you doing? He said, well, I'm doing great, too. He says, how's your husband? And she said, well, I divorced him. I'm not married no more. Said, how's your wife? Oh, said, she's doing okay, but she went home to be with mother for a few days, so we're not together right now. So she said, well, if you're not together, why don't we go have some dinner together? So he said, okay. So he took her and bought her dinner. And so they sat around and talked for an hour or two after dinner. And then she said, you know, I don't have anything to do this afternoon. Why don't you come up to my apartment? Now then, that, a red flag got to go straight up. Right there. Especially for a preacher, right?
Amen.
But it ought to go up for any man. But he goes up there and he said, we're up there, and said, the longer we're in that apartment, the closer together we get. And he said, after a few hours, we're in the bedroom. And he said, I am taking off my clothes. She's already got hers off and she's in the bed. And I'm taking my clothes off and I hear this little voice. John, do you know what you're fixing to do is sin? He said, I turned around and there ain't nobody in that room. Who do you think that was that talked to John? Who? You know, God needs to talk to a whole bunch of us. But John was lucky. God knew what he had for John. He knew what was going to happen to him. And he spoke to him and told him, do you know what you're fixing to do with sin? He said, let me tell you, Thurman. He said, I got my clothes on fast as I could get them on. And he said, I was out of there. And I told her, I said, I won't never be back. I got home, called my wife, said, honey, I'm going to tell you, I repent. I love you. Come home. I said, I went and got her. I made up with her. And I told her, I said, we ain't never going to have another argument. He said, so far, we never have. Now, is God trying to talk to all of us in His Word like this all the time?
Yes.
That's right. We don't listen. But praise God, once in a while, He talks out loud. And some of you in this room, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever heard that authoritative voice of God speak to you? Hold your hand up. Wow, praise God, a bunch of you. Isn't it something when He talks to you? You ain't never the same once the King talks to you, are you? I'm telling you, the first time he spoke to me, I mean, it was many years ago, but it's 1977 in the month of June, but I'll never forget it. But that's the first time, 1977, that he spoke to me in a voice that was audible, that I could hear. And I was sitting there studying, and all of a sudden, when I come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and I read, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I read that line, and I heard this, Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. When I heard that, I turned around also to see who walked in and spoke to me. But there was nobody in that room but me and the Lord. And he had been there all the time, hadn't he? He was looking over my shoulder. He was watching everything I was doing. He knew what I was doing. And he had a message for me in the next few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And what it was? The verses say this. In fact, let's just go there. Let's just go to Deuteronomy 6:4. and let's see and own, and let's see what God's telling you and me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, that's, I read that, and then he said, son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. So let's go on and see what they say. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So how much are we supposed to love him? With everything. Everything. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Well, let's see what he says. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 9 and 10. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which you buildest not. Now then, I had a brand new baby girl that was 1 month old, and I had a son 2 years old when he spoke that to me. What was he trying to tell me to do with those kids? I was supposed to tell them about him, right? I'm supposed to live a life that'll glorify him. Is that what he's trying to say? Now, was that only for Thurman Scrivener? Is that for every man in the church? It's for every man in the church. Now then, how many men do you know that teach their children the Word of God every day, that read it to them? Not too many. How many men do you know that go home and pray? Anytime their wife has a problem, he can't wait to pray for her. Not too many. Whenever something happens to your wife, what do most guys do? Take her to the doctor. Is that what you do? Sure. Now, if God says, husbands, you are supposed to love your wife like I love the church. You're supposed to even be willing to give your life for your wife. And if he says, wives, you are to submit yourselves in all things to your husband. What does that mean?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, I Thought You Were a Man of Faith, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.